do, I want to get into, I just want to, you know, welcome the Strong Tower Ministries. If everybody from there, if you guys can raise your hands, let's give them a hand. Yes. I'm going to show a quick video real quick, and this is going to be one of their promo videos. It's going to get us a better idea of what they do down in Hitchcock, all right? So, Matt, if we can get the light.
Hallelujah. I'm so glad that we serve a God of mercy. So glad that we serve a God that... It's a God of restoration, you know. He's a God that restores our families. He's a God that loves us. And he's not a God that just loves us, but he's a God that likes us. He's a God that enjoys our presence, you know. Sometimes we get the wrong idea about this God, but I want to tell you right now that Jesus enjoys you in your weakness. Amen. And speaking of restoration, I got a couple stories of restoration we wanted to testify about today. I brought one of our students, Greg, and then I brought two of our staff members, Angela and Amanda, and they're going to just give a little testimony about what the Lord has done. Amen? Because look what the Lord has done. Amen. Okay. So, Greg, this is the first time Greg's ever gave a testimony, ever. So, this is awesome. All right, bro. And then...
Hello. Staying up. My name is Greg, and I'm 34. Born in California. Got into gangs and drugs real bad. And then I moved to Houston because my mom wanted us out of that stuff. And then I kind of brought my lifestyle with me. Got into drugs. And as I got older, drugs got worse. I lost my job. Lost my place. Ended up homeless on the street, just bad, doing bad. And I found this place called Street Church, and Strong Tower Ministries happened to be there. And they asked me, did I want to come back with them? And I said, yes, save me, please. And brought me back, and ever since I've been there, I know God is real, like really real, and he can change anything, and he fixed me, almost, I'm not, but you know, and I know that he's real, and he just gave me this joy, now I'm smiling all the time, and he's humbled me a lot, made me be still, you know, because I'm always running. But now I'm better, and I know there's a God. And thank you for, you know, having me. Thank you.
Good job, bro. That's awesome, man. Awesome. All right. You know, let's go ahead and have Angela next. And then we'll have, is Lilia out here? Oh, okay. That's okay. All right. Here's Angela right here. She's one of our staff members now.
All right. I just want to testify how good the Lord has been in my life. He is a God of restoration and hope. And I had to be separated from my daughters for almost a year and a half due to depression, heavy drug use, bad relationships. I had a job, had a car, lost it all. And then my brother found Strong Tower, and through Strong Tower, the Lord restored me back to my daughters. I'm employed. God has been so good and just healed my body, healed my relationships. And he's also blessed me with a car since I've been here. And I just want to say that Jesus, there's hope through him. Thank you.
Praise Jesus. And then this is Amanda. She's also, her little girl, Lily, is somewhere back there. And here you go.
Thank you. Okay, my name is Amanda Terry, and I'm 24 years old. And I have been with Strong Tower Ministries for 4 years now. By the age of 15, I got into an extremely abusive relationship, and that led to a meth addiction for 4 years. And the consequences of that was, in the video, CPS closed cases, but courts didn't. They terminated my rights to being a mother at 19, with no chance getting her back. So in the year of 2000, In 13, I became a Strong Tower disciple, and I learned what faithfulness was and how the Lord is faithful. In June of 2016, we petitioned the courts to get my rights back, and they granted them to me. Now I get to hear Mommy every day. It's so worth it, and I live a life that is worthy to be called a woman of God. Thank you.
Oh, it's making me cry. So I'm not going to give my testimony, but we just hear story after story of that at Strong Tower, just soul after soul being saved, family after family being restored. And this is something that's really happening tangibly. I mean, children being restored. She didn't have rights. They were done. And it was a miracle. Amen. So God's still in the miracle business. So obviously, you know, most of us came to Strong Tower and because we had a little addiction, right, of some sort or another. It wasn't all the same. So today I want to talk to you about addiction. And I want to talk about what God's Word says about it. But I'm going to use something different. I'm going to go at it from a different perspective. Because when I say addiction, some people turn their heads off. They're like, oh, that doesn't pertain to me. I've never been an addict. I've never struggled. We might think of a homeless crack addict or a heroin addict. That's what we think an addict is. But you don't have to be addicted to drugs to be an addict. There's lots of kind of addictions. There's a lady named Shirley Chisholm. She was an American politician and educator and author in the 1960s. And she said, it's not heroin or cocaine that makes one an addict. It is the need to escape from a harsh reality. There are more television addicts, more baseball and football addicts, more movie addicts, and certainly more alcohol addicts in this country than there are narcotic addicts. Ain't that the truth? That's the truth. So the definition of addiction is the fact or condition of being addicted to a particular substance, thing, or activity, or also a devotion to, dedication to, a passion for, or love of. One of the synonyms of the word addiction is the word habit. And today I want to use the word habit because if we're all honest, we can relate to bad habits. Have you ever had a bad habit? I've had some bad habits. I still have some bad habits. Even some of our good habits can become bad habits if we allow them to, if we're not careful. The Bible calls this idolatry. When we indulge of too much of anything, except for Jesus. We're allowed to indulge in as much of Jesus as we want, right? Amen? So we can be obsessed with Jesus. But too much of anything else is idolatry. I heard a quote on the movie Karate Kid. You ever seen Karate Kid? Yeah. And Jaden, okay. So Jaden Smith was showing off to some little Chinese girl, you know. Because like all boys show off to the little girls when they're kids, and, you know. But she gave him an old Chinese proverb. And I love Chinese proverbs. And it was, Wu Ji Bi Fa. Did I say that right? Wu Ji Bi Fa. And it means too much of good stuff is bad stuff. So today I'm going to teach out of the Bible, out of Isaiah 1, 16 through 23. If you have your Bibles, we can turn there. And we're going to talk about some people who've fallen in some bad habits and what God thought about that. So it's Isaiah chapter 1, verses 16 through 23. All right. He says, wash yourselves, cleanse yourselves, remove your evil deeds from my sight. Stop doing evil. Learn to do what is good. Seek justice. Correct the oppressor. Defend the rights of the fatherless. Plead the widow's cause. Come, let us discuss this, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they will be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. For Oh, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The faithful city, what an adulteress she has become. She was once full of justice. Righteousness once dwelt in her, but now murders. Your silver has become dross. Your beer is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, friends of thieves. They all graft and chase after bribes. They do not defend the rights of the fatherless, and the widow's case never comes before them. So, Father, I thank you for your word, which is true and it is never changing. It is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, which is here amongst us now. And I pray, Father, that you would speak to us through your word today. Father, I pray that you would open our spiritual eyes and our hearts to receive your word today, God. And I pray, Father, that you would just quicken the spirit within us, God, to do whatever you want, Lord Jesus. We want to be a people that are surrendered to your will and your wants. Jesus, we bless you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. So Isaiah was talking to the people of Jerusalem and Judah in this chapter. He just finished giving them a warning to repent of their bad habits. You see, Israel had fallen into some bad habits. They were once a people of really good habits. They were a people of righteousness, a people of holiness, a people of reverence to their God. But slowly they begin to fall away and follow the lusts of the world. They had fallen into some bad habits. They slowly allowed their hearts to grow cold towards the things of God and what God wanted for them. It's like a supernatural amnesia that came over them. And if we're not careful, that supernatural amnesia will affect all of us. How easy it is for us to forget the goodness of God. Martin Luther wrote about it in one of his hymns. He said, "Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to lead the God I love." And Israel, like all of us, is prone to falling away. We're prone to bad habits. Their worship became empty and formal. They didn't treat each other with love. So I want to talk today about a couple of things that happened during their falling away into these bad habits. Because this isn't just the story of Israel, it's all of our story if we're not careful. It's all of our story if we don't be diligent and keep watch over our lives. So number one, they became distracted. Israel became distracted. In Isaiah 1:21, it says, "The faithful city, what an adulteress she has become. She was once full of justice. Righteousness once dwelt in her, but now murders." So Israel's fall wasn't immediate. It took a while. It was a slow fade. It says that she was called the faithful city, which would imply that in the past she was very faithful to the Lord, very close to Jesus. And it says that they became distracted and took their focus off of Jesus. They took their focus off the number one. They became a people of bad habits. The things of the world became more satisfying to their flesh than the things of God, than the intimacy that God wanted for them. Some of us might be able to relate to that because we get so preoccupied in modern day with things, carnal things, cars, trucks. What's the next new truck out? What's the next new compound? But we have to be careful, you know, Netflix. Look at this new series I've found on Netflix. I'm glued to it. I got to watch another episode, another episode, another. And soon enough, your devotion time that you set apart for Jesus is spent watching, you know, a Netflix show or a YouTube channel. Sorry, Jesus. So Facebook. Facebook's wonderful. It's a great tool that we can use to glorify the Lord. And it can also distract you so much that you'll fall away. A lack of intimacy, which all those things create, leads to the next step that Israel followed, and that was rebellion. See, a lack of intimacy leads to rebellion. In verse 23, it says, "Your rulers are rebels, friends of thieves." You see, Israel had become rebellious towards God. The society was breaking down around them. Even their church leaders were becoming rebellious. A wise man once said, "Rules without relationship lead to rebellion." Let me repeat it one more time. I love that quote. Rules without relationship leads to rebellion. Someone told me that about my kids one time. I think it might have been my pastor. I can't remember. But, you know, I'm a dad. I love my children. But he told me, he said, Mike, man, you want to be a good dad, remember to have the relationship. Because all those rules, they're going to lead to rebellion without the relationship there. It's the same with Jesus. Jesus wanted a relationship with Israel. He wanted a conversation with them. And as a matter of fact, what he wanted then, he still wants now, y'all. He wants voluntary lovers of God. He doesn't want mandatory obeyers. He wants voluntary lovers. There will be a time when there's mandatory obedience. We all know the scripture that when Jesus comes back, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, whether in heaven or on earth or under the earth. That's mandatory obedience. Jesus longs for voluntary lovers of God right now. He wants a bride. He wants a bride that obeys the first and greatest commandment. Anyone know what that is? To love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your mind, with all of your soul and all of your strength. If I have a relationship with my wife, but no conversation, it's one-sided conversations all the time, that relationship would be very shallow, wouldn't it? Or if the only time I ever went to my wife is, hey, you think that I might be able to buy this new whatever, right? That's the only time I ever talked to my wife. Or the only time I went, can you do this for me? That relationship would be strained and it would become shallow and she might become rebellious, or I might become rebellious in that, the lack of intimacy there. A shallow relationship leads to rebellion and to find satisfaction in other things, which are more bad habits. So number three, the last half of verse 23, Isaiah 1:23, the last half. It says, they loved bribes and followed after rewards. You see, they were lovers of money. They became lovers of money. I told you, the lack of intimacy leads to rebellion, which leads to find our satisfaction in other things. One of those things being, they were lovers of money. They no longer defended the fatherless and the widows. They became selfish, full of themselves. They fell into the age-old deception. They saw, they coveted, they indulged, and they became addicted to their behavior. They became addicted to their bad habits. He says to them in the text, your sacrifices have become an abomination to me because of your bad habits. It's hard to please God and to approach his throne in confidence when we have all these bad habits and these things clinging to us. That's why God wants us to have confidence. When he says, have confidence, come to his throne. The only way to do that is to shake ourselves of these bad habits that we get into. Some of us have struggled with secret sins in the past. In fact, some might be still holding on to secret sins or secret bad habits. And that makes it very difficult to go to the throne of God with confidence, knowing that you have these things you're doing, right? Knowing that we have these hidden habits. Because God wants us to come to his throne with clean consciences and clear consciences, amen? God wants us to shake those things off so we're not weighed down by guilt. People are creatures of habit. We learn from a really young age habits. It's part of our nature. We learn when we're babies to cry when we're hungry, right? We learn to cry when we have dirty diapers. So we begin to cry all the time, and we develop a habit of crying. It's in us. So I want to ask you today just to look inwardly at yourself and just ask yourself, what kind of bad habits have I been clinging onto lately? Like, let's just take a minute to get real so that we can have clean consciences before Jesus and everybody else. God, what is it that I've been clinging on to? Am I doing this too much? Am I watching too much TV? You know, am I on the internet too much? I used to go hunting. I loved to hunt. And I began to skip church to go hunting. It was years ago. One time I started skipping church to go motocross riding, and God allowed me to break my knee, and I never rode again. Hallelujah. Felt like one of them sheep that run away, you know? He broke my leg, man. Anyway. What kind of habits have we been developing? Also, what kind of thought patterns, what kind of thought habits have you been developing lately? Have you been fellowshipping with the God who gives us good thoughts and helps us to speak well about our brothers and sisters and think good things? Or are we fellowshipping with that accuser of the brethren spirit, you know, that speaks lies to us and we think bad things all the time, which, and all this, it's funny when we get into that habit that we remember everything that everyone ever did to us, huh? Like, whoa, I can't believe that I remember all that stuff, right? It's called the accuser of the brethren spirit. Because he likes to remind us of all those things. I'll tell you what we should get into the habit of doing. We should get into the habit of joy. Like smiling, being happy, right? Yep. Being more easygoing. We should get in the habit of joy. Because it's in God's nature to be joyful. He lives in us, so we should be joyful. If Jesus, if we're the tabernacle of God, right? That's what Paul says. Then we should be joyful. In fact, Jesus is in the habit of being joyful. Jesus is the happiest man who ever walked the earth. I want to let you know that. Jesus wasn't somber all the time. He was happy most of the time. Some people think that, that he was just serious all the time. But in Psalm 45:7 says, "You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of joy more than your companions." You see, Jesus was happy. He was a happy guy, and he's still happy. The thing about habits is that they're tricky. Sometimes we really don't know that we're falling into habit, and, you know, until it's too late. So let's just take a second to identify some things. What are some habits, some bad habits? Bad ones we might fall into. Paul calls them works of the flesh in Galatians 5, 19 through 21. These are some bad habits. And I want to say that some of these habits, you'll say, oh, I wouldn't do that ever. I'd never do that. But some of them the church is okay with because they take different forms. I've heard Christian men, married men, I've seen them checking out ladies, man. And I'm like, what are you doing, brother? You're married. You have no business looking at that woman. And they, oh, it's okay just to look, man, right? As long as I don't lust. Whatever, dude. Okay. Jesus said, if you look at a woman to lust at her with your eyes, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. So there's these different things that we might be doing, right? That we might not think we are, but we are. So it says in Galatians 5, 19 through 21, "Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery." Sorcery comes from the root word pharmakia. Are you addicted to prescription drugs? Some of the students that come there, they say, I wasn't a drug addict. And I'm like, why are you? Well, you know, what were you taking before you got here? Oh, Xanax, but the doctor gave it to me. It's okay. It's okay that I was addicted to Klonopin. It's okay that I was addicted, right? And the thing is those drugs took over their minds, ruined them. Sorcery comes from the root word pharmakia, which is pharmaceuticals. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. Christians never have outbursts of wrath. I've never seen one. Especially when you cut one off and they have the little Jesus sticker on the back of their car. You know what I mean? And he's, whoa, you know. You hear like a beep. And then they pass by you and they got a Jesus sticker. Wow. It's okay. I forgive you, bro. Selfish ambitions. Dissensions, heresies, envy. Whew. That's one I think that we all might struggle with at times, envy. Murders, drunkenness, revelries and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we want to find out if we've fallen into some of these bad habits, we want to compare our thoughts, our actions, and our intentions with the Word of God because that's our litmus test, right? It's not society. Some of us have fallen into in the church even, maybe not this church, but some churches have fallen into the deception that we can just compare our deeds and acts with society and that makes it okay because society says it's okay. But in my Bible says the Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you see, what Jesus thought was evil 1,000 years ago is still evil today. It didn't change. What he thought was bad 1,000 years ago is still the same. And what he thought was good and righteous and holy 1,000 years ago, he thinks is the same today. So we want to compare ourselves to Jesus. We don't want to be like the nice old lady in church that comes to the pastor afterwards and says, "Pastor Les, I love that word. I know exactly who that was for. I'm going to go tell him." You know, you don't want to be like that, dude. We want to be the person that looks at ourselves, man. Paul said, if you judge yourself, you won't be judged. Amen. But just look at ourselves for a second. So, Jesus was a creature of habit. That's why we want to compare ourselves to him. Jesus himself, God, was a creature of habit. He was all God and yet all human. He was human just like you and I. Hebrews 4:15 says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So Jesus was tempted in the same things that you and I were tempted in and are tempted in, but he chose to make righteousness his habit. It was his choice. And it's our choice. Amen. John 8:28-29, I'm almost through. John 8:28-29 says, "So Jesus said, 'When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him.'" Jesus says, "I always do what pleases the Father." Jesus said, "I'm in the habit of obeying God. I'm in the habit of doing what pleases the Father all the time." So let's ask, is that what we do in our lives? Is that what we do on a daily basis? We wake up and we make it our life's goal. "God, I'm going to please you today. I'm going to be a person of good and righteous habits. I'm going to be a person that is completely surrendered to your will, Jesus. And I'm going to get into the habit of obeying you. I'm going to get into the habit of praying before I do things. I'm going to get into the habit of asking my leadership about things." The proverb says there's wisdom in a multitude of counsel, right? I'm going to get into the habit of loving my wife more. And wives, I'm going to get into the habit of loving my husband more. I'm going to get into the habit of talking with people instead of being so cut off from everybody, right? If you haven't done it, man, I charge you to do it today. I hope that today is a day of change in your life. And I want to encourage you to be that kind of person. Be a person that shoots to hit the mark. I'm an archer. I love archery. You know, sin is an archery term, if you didn't know that. It means to miss the mark, right? So when I draw back my bow to make a shot, man, I pay attention to my form. I pay attention to little details in what I'm doing so that I can hit the mark every time. Because if I miss that mark, I sin. And the same thing in our lives, man. Let's get into the habit of paying attention to the little details in our life, the way we treat each other and talk with each other, you know? If we have trouble, I shouldn't say if, when we have trouble and just whatever, let's ask God to help us to get in the habit. See, you might say, "Well, dude, I can't do this, Mike. I can't do that." And you're right, you can't. Your flesh will fall every time. But the Holy Spirit will empower you to be a person of good habits. The Holy Spirit will empower you to live a life of righteousness. Ephesians 5:18 says, "And don't get drunk on wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." If we're struggling to maintain good habits, we might be running on empty. Maybe we need a little refill of the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Lord for a refill. So in closing, I want to take a look at verse 19 of Isaiah. Verse 19 of Isaiah, because I don't want to talk all day. It says, "If you are willing and obedient, then you shall eat the good of the land." God says, man, if you are just willing, if you're willing and if you obey me, then I got such a great feast waiting for you. You're going to eat the good of the land. Good things are going to happen to you. I don't know why people don't think God is a God that wants good things. God wants to bless you. God longs to show himself gracious to you. He's a good God. Why do we think God is a good God? We should be encouraged by that today. Aristotle, he said, "We are what we do repeatedly. Excellence then is not an act, but a habit." So we can develop that habit. So let's try a little harder. I want to finish with a poem. Because I like poems, and I just feel like finishing with a poem. It's called the Habit Poem. It says, "I am your constant companion. I am your greatest helper. or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me, and I will do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I'll do it automatically. I am the servant of great people, and alas, of all failures as well. Those who are great, I have made great, and those who are failures, I have made failures. I am not a machine, though. I work with the precision of a machine, plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. Amen. So, amen. That's it today. I think we're going to have a time of prayer. Is that? Oh, here you go. Thank you.
But you want to do the altar call?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Hallelujah. Okay. So, the thing with this is it's all great meeting together and worshiping. But man, God's word is powerful and it's changing, right? And it's heart splitting. And God wants a response when we hear the word. You know what I mean? He wants a response from us or it means nothing. And so I just want to encourage you today. It's not embarrassing or anything. It could be any kind of habits. It could be anything in your life that you want to do business with God about this morning. But I want to give everyone a chance to come forward and just pray with us. Can I have you three, please, come up?